Well, good morning, church. Oh, man, I am so excited to be here. I know I say that a lot, but I really mean it. I really do. And on this particular weekend, it is always so exciting to gather together at the beginning of a brand new year because in the rhythm of Mosaic's life over the last almost 17 years now, at the beginning of each year, we have really stepped into a space where we look ahead together and we dream about what God is calling us into and inviting us into as a church to focus on for the coming year. It is essentially the weekend that we spend some time unpacking vision. And over the years, for many years of Mosaic's life, I feel like each year was sort of a brand new vision. It's not that we abandoned the vision from the year before. It's just that we really switched focus and went to something new. And the vision before, we sort of were hopeful that it would be a continued part of our ongoing life now that we've spent a year in it. But over the last 5 years in particular, I feel like there has been a shift from this sort of each year individualized as a little year's vision to get through the year and go to the next. The last 5 years has felt more like a convergence of things as they are unfolding and developing. So almost as though God is showing us in pieces a large vision that has parts, and that one is not separated from the other, but they build on each other. So, 4.5, 5 years ago, we started the journey of stepping into the vision that became what we here called the Get Loud vision. The idea that we, as a church, as a people, want to step out there into the world and actually change the world. Like, actually do it. Not like talk about it, not like do a little bit, but come off of a 20 or 30 or 40 year journey together in this church, look back and go, the world is actually changed because God saw fit to allow us to participate in his redemption. And then as we traveled through that, last year, as that sort of found its rhythm into our spaces, we realized that part of going out and changing the world is that we need to be able to be a people who are willing to go and share with those in our circles of influence the beauty of the redemptive story of God, that we need to be evangelists, not for the sake of conversion, but for the sake of carrying the message of redemption, freedom, life, and light to the world around us. And that if we're going to do that, not out of our own strength or our own will, but in the will of God, by the strength of the Spirit of God, that we need to come and sit with him, be with him. So last year we talked about evangelism and prayer that was not a separate vision from Get Loud, but the ongoing convergence of what it means to be loud. And then the end of this last year, we started talking about where we go from here over the next 2, 3, 4 years. And you guys were here as we talked about this idea of every moment, that getting loud and actually changing the world is not just about going out into the big things that are unredeemed, like human trafficking and poverty and war and disease, but also engaging in the everyday, simple, right here in front of you moments that need us to be a force of redemption in. That is in our own lives, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces and schools, right here, in every little moment. And we talked about that these moments that we get to live every day are really lived through Jesus, and they're lived by Jesus, and they're lived for Jesus. And we talked a lot about that. And that is where we want to live. But it does beg a question, doesn't it? Like, if we're going to live every moment out through Jesus and by Jesus and for Jesus, what does that actually mean? Like, what does that actually look like? Where do we actually begin our journey 2020 January as we enter into the next 12 months and beyond? How do we walk this out so that it is said of us as a church in a year, 5 years, 10 years, not, man, that was a neat brand, but that it is said of us, man, these guys lived it out. It was amazing to watch. I mean, literally, in every moment, if you look at the people that call themselves the family of Mosaic, in every moment that you encounter them, it seems that they are living through Jesus and by Jesus and for Jesus. What would that even begin to look like? And that is the question we have been wrestling with as a church leadership, asking the Spirit of God to show us, where are you going to take us now? What do we call the people, me and you, into in 2020 to begin to make this idea of living every moment for the glory of Christ a reality in our lives? And it turns out God was already stirring the answer to that question last year as we were traveling through the year in the summer. And I will unpack that for you in just a minute. And that stirring took us to a passage in Scripture where Jesus is sitting with his disciples that were with him at the time. So it is the best example we have of what it actually means to be a disciple of Jesus is to look at the actual disciples that were actually walking with him, right? I mean, if you want to say, what does it mean to be a disciple? That wouldn't be a bad starting point, would it? Here are the guys that were actually with him. And he's sitting with them at the very last moments that he has with them on this planet. At a meal, the Passover meal that we lovingly refer to as the Last Supper, and he is unpacking for them some of the realities that they need to establish in their minds because he is about to get arrested and then crucified, then resurrect, hang out for a couple of weeks, and then ascend into heaven and leave the planet. They don't know this, but he is preparing their hearts for this so that they won't find themselves a group of disciples floundering with no leader, but that they understand what it means to continue in this journey of discipleship and to make new disciples of Jesus when Jesus isn't on the planet. And this conversation unfolds in John chapter 15. And it begins with an illustration. And Jesus says, if you're gonna follow me and you wanna understand what that means, you all sitting at this table around this meal, I am gonna go. And you may ask, well, when you leave, what does it mean that we follow you? And he says this, John chapter 15 in verse 1, I am the true vine. So he uses an illustration in an agricultural context with an agricultural culture that would have immediately understood what this meant. We do because we watch, Net Geo, but they actually lived it in the everyday world of growing stuff. And so he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. So he sets that. And then he says in verse 4, abide in me, uses this word, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it is connected to or abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the first picture Jesus gives his disciples, and now to us through the book of John, is that if we are going to live out every single moment of our lives as followers of Jesus, disciples of the Rabbi Jesus, it means we have to abide in him. This is the language he uses. Like a branch attached to the vine so that the nutrients and life that is the vine comes into the branch and the fruit that is born on the branch is because of the vine, though it is through the branch. You with me? So without the vine, we bear no fruit, and he has chosen to bear his fruit, not apart from us, but through us, because his illustration is not only will you abide in me, but what? I will abide in you. This is extraordinary. And then he says this, look at this, verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He wasn't saying that the fruit proves discipleship. He was saying that the fruit proves abiding, and abiding proves discipleship. You with me? The fruit proves that I'm attached to the vine, and the attachment to the vine is what he is defining as the essence of discipleship. To be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, is to be attached to him, to abide in him. So the question then becomes, what does this word abide really mean? Because we throw words around constantly in our everyday and especially Christian world that we all nod, abide in Jesus. Yeah. Okay, what does abide mean? You know, like to abide. Yep, sure does. See, a lot of times I just find myself going, does anybody know what this means? And the answer is there is a meaning, but sometimes we just kind of go with it and then it never becomes a reality. So Jesus goes on to explain something else at this meal in the very next chapter, John chapter 16, and he explains a little bit more of what the abiding is going to look like as he leaves the planet. Listen to this, John chapter 16 in verse 4. And it says this, we're going to kind of go to the second half of the verse of verse 4. I did not say these things from the beginning because I was with you. So what does he mean? He's telling them now about what it's going to be like when he leaves. And he said, I didn't tell you what it's going to be like when I leave because I was with you. So I didn't need to tell you. But now I'm going to leave. So what do I need to do now? I need to tell you what it's going to be like when I leave so that you don't stop being my disciples once I leave. Because it's easy to be my disciple while I'm here, but what's it going to look like when I leave? And so at first we might think he's going to give us the baton and say, go do this by yourself. But that's not what he says. Look what he says. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. So now he's saying, I get it. You're sad that I'm leaving. And I don't blame you. Your rabbi is going. But if I go, listen to this. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, there's lots of depths into that we can go into later. But what he's saying is this. There is one who I'm going to send to you who is going to come and help you in a new way from the way that I help you. He is going to be a part of the journey for you. Now look what he says here. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You're not ready for them yet. There's still journey to be had. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Spirit of God, who will be sent when Jesus leaves to his disciples to help and empower and lead them, is going to lead them into what way? Whose way? The way of Jesus, because he just said he's not coming with a new way. He's not coming with a new truth. He's not coming with something new. He is simply going to come and authenticate and empower and lead and show you my way. And look at this. Look what Jesus says next. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare to you. So what is Jesus then attached to? He goes, and my way is whose way? The way of the Father. So the way of the Father, I am here to glorify the Father, who is glorifying the Son, who is glorifying the Spirit, who is glorifying the Son, who is glorifying the Father, who is glorifying the Spirit, who is glorifying the Father, who is glorifying the Son. There is no separation. So when you have the Spirit of God as your guide, you are walking in the way of Jesus. And when Jesus is leading you, you are walking in the way of God, in the way of God, because God is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, if I don't leave, your help is still external. I'm right here in this body, and you're right over there. But when I leave, your help will become internal. I will abide in you as you will be led by the Spirit to abide in me. Later on, Paul will write to the church in Galatia, and he will unpack for us in a brand new clarity what it really means to abide. Because when we think of abiding, I think we often equate that word to the stopping, to the sitting, to the staying in a place. So we say, go on mission with for God, but come and abide with God. Like we separate those two. Abiding is to be quiet, and then mission is everything else we do in life. But that is not actually the definition of abiding at all. Here in Galatians chapter 5, listen to what Paul says in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he goes into now the works of the flesh are, and he lays out a very obvious list that is not exhaustive, but just goes, who doesn't know what the death and destruction list is, right? But listen to this. He says this. But going to verse, did I just turn? Oh. I turned too many pages. There you go. I was like, that is not the verse I was going to read. But verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What does he mean that there is no law against such things? Here's what he means. When we are living the character of Jesus, the character of the Spirit of God, the character of the Father, the life of Jesus, here it is. When we are living love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, when that is the defining full characteristic of you and I, not we're loving but not patient, we're faithful but not gentle. No, no, when we are the fruit, the singular fruit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, goodness. You see what I'm saying? It's not, there's a bunch of fruits, and I've got the orange and you've got the apple. This is a singular fruit, and its definition is in these words. This is the life of Jesus. This is the way that God is when you are with God. When we are this, we don't need law because we won't break law. Do you understand? You can't break the law and simultaneously be all of these collective things. The second you break the law, you are missing one of the descriptors of the fruit. If you are these things, you will not, you cannot break the law. So you don't need a schoolmaster because you will live righteously because the life of God is righteousness. And so what Paul is saying is when we walk in the Spirit and we see the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God born in us, we will live the life of God on this planet and we will show the world and reflect to the world who he is. Now look what he says here. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. See, the definition here that Paul is laying out for us out of John 15 and 16 of what it means to abide, he is using as an active now. Not a stop and sit still, but a walk in step with. And it turns out in the dictionary, the very definition of abide has both parts to it. To abide is to dwell. That's in the dictionary. To dwell is to be in and stay in. But to abide is also used in the dictionary as the word that says to remain in or to stay in. And the idea of the remaining in is that there is something that is and you are staying in it. You are remaining in it. So if it is static, a house, you are remaining where? In the house. But if it is moving, then you are remaining where? In the movement. The remaining is not a stopping. It is to be with whatever it is you're remaining in. The idea of abiding is not to stop from everyday life and come and sit at the feet of Jesus. The idea of abiding is to remain with him, stay with him, walk with him, stop with him, go with him, dwell with him wherever it is he goes. And so we abide on the go, we abide in the rest, we abide as we roll. This is the idea of all of this. So what then is this abiding, this walking by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, what does it look like for our lives? Well, it turns out Jesus gave us a clarity on what it looks like because he gave us a structure into which we can set our discipling, our following of Jesus. In the time of Jesus, they lived in the rabbinical world. There was a rabbi, or otherwise known as a teacher, and the teacher or rabbi had students or disciples. And the idea of following any rabbi was to be a student of that rabbi insofar as you would learn all of the rabbi's rhythms, ways, and truth, and you would go and live in them. A student was not primarily a collector of information as much as a mimicker of someone else's way in life. The student was watching a way of living and living in it, not collecting information and applying it. That has changed in our cultural context. So Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, he says these words. Listen to this. Let me go to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 11 says this. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That, as if you've been around Mosaic at all, you know, was rabbinical talk, right? If you are following a way, following a philosophy, following a truth, following a rabbi, and that way is a burden of self-righteousness or a burden of the destruction of lawlessness or a burden of self-governance, I want to invite you to my way, which is none of those things. For my way is a way of life, a way of freedom, a way of light. Come to me, take on my yoke. And so he uses this word yoke. In the rabbinical world, the rabbi's yoke was the way that that rabbi would live his life. It was the truth that that rabbi would teach and express out of Scripture. And then his way and his truth believed and lived out, acted upon, became the life of that rabbi. So if you, as a disciple, lived in, walked in, pursued and followed the way of the rabbi, and you believed the truth of the rabbi, then you would end up living the life of the rabbi. It's not possible that that wouldn't happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't say, I am walking as the rabbi walked. I am believing and acting as the rabbi believed and acted, but I'm not living the rabbi's life. It's not a possibility. The very nature of believing a rabbi's truth and living in it and following a rabbi's way and living in it is that you will then live the rabbi's life. So, Jesus, as a rabbi, says, come, take on my yoke, follow me, my way and my truth, and you will have my life, and my life is light, and my burden is light, and my life is easy. Why is my life light? We find out later on. What kind of a life is produced when the person living life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? What kind of a life is that? Can you imagine a life like that? Where every moment of every day is expressed with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Can you imagine the freedom that that would be? Are you beginning to think about the thousands of moments in the day that you and I find ourselves in conflict and difficulty and struggle and anxiety and burden? And all those words collectively come at us and say, if this was your reality, what would life be like? It would be amazing. And so we discover in Scripture that this journey of what it means to follow Jesus into not just the quiet moments, but into every moment, and doing it through him and by him and for him, is the journey of following or remaining in his way. Now, I would usually take the time here to then unpack for you, okay, so what is this way that is the way of Jesus, and what is this truth that is the truth of Jesus, so that I and you can find ourselves living in the life of Jesus, which is the fruit of the Spirit. What is this? I would have to unpack all that for you. But it turns out, I told you earlier in the message, that God was already stirring the pot last year. Remember I said that to you and I said, I'll come back to it? Well, come back, okay? Because last summer, we walked through a series together that some of you may have been here for called This Spiritual Life. And guess what God showed us in that series of 3 weeks? He showed us the rabbinical way of Jesus. He showed us what that way was. We unpacked that in intricate detail. And then he walked us into what it means to walk by the Spirit, in the Spirit, in step with the Spirit as our ongoing, ever-present rabbi who will walk us into the way of Jesus. So instead of me spending 20 minutes unpacking in detail each of the components of the way of Jesus, I am going to touch on them briefly, and you, if this is intriguing to you, are going to go back and podcast that little series so that you can dig more deeply into what we've already discovered. So what is the way of Jesus? What did we discover last summer? I said to you last summer that when I read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I read through them with the intent of saying, if I spent 7 days with Jesus or 7 weeks with Jesus or 7 months with Jesus, what would I find myself doing? Because if he has a way of living and I'm going to follow his way, what is his way? And we discovered 3 things besides eating and sleeping. 1, Jesus was on mission. He was on mission being redemptive. Where was he on mission? Not a trick question. In Nazareth, yes. Not in Jerusalem, though, right? No. Jerusalem, too. But not in Capernaum. No. But not on the road where he bumped into the blind guy. No. On the road, too. But not with his disciples. No. With his disciples. When was he not on mission, living out a mission? Never. He was on mission. So if you're with Jesus, what do you know you would be up to? Living on mission. In which moments? All of them, right? Your mind would never be on the realities of this world and what you can extract from them or what they're trying to extract from you. Your mind would always be on the mission of eternity and your opportunity to be changing the unredeemed spaces around you. So your workplaces and your relationships and your circumstances are all now just a brand new and extraordinary opportunity in which we can live redeeming the unredeemed things. You'd be on mission with Jesus. Second of all, Jesus often hung out with his posse, with his close-knit community, with his disciples, with the men and women that followed around him, with the 12, the 72, a few members, Mary and Martha. It just kind of depended. He was always gathered up in some regularity, taking moments out of that going version of mission, and mission became community. So though mission expanded into community, community was a unique piece of it. Jesus was on mission. Jesus also made it a point, the God of the universe, to stay and remain in community. And so if we followed Jesus for 7 days or 7 months or 7 years, we would be on mission. We would be in community, biblical community, dialoguing, stirring one another up, spurring each other on, preaching the gospel to each other as they did. And then third, Jesus was often alone with his Father. He made intimacy with God a critical, non-negotiable part of his life. So if you were with Jesus, you couldn't actually be with him when he went to be alone with the Father. But if you were a fly on the wall watching Jesus, you would see him on mission. You would see him in biblical community. You would see him in intimacy with God, alone with his Father. And that's what you would see him doing. Besides, in all of those spaces, also teaching and speaking out truth. And then we discovered that that was it. I didn't find anything else in all of the Gospels. If you were with Jesus, that's it. You were either going to be on mission with him, in community with him, or alone with the Father with him. All of that being, you ready now? The abiding spaces. If you are with Jesus on mission, are you remaining in him? Are you staying with him? Are you abiding? Yes. If you are sitting in biblical community, stirring each other up, and Jesus is with you, are you remaining with him? Are you staying with him? Are you dwelling with him? Are you abiding? Yes. If you are alone with God, in intimacy with God, are you remaining? Are you abiding? Are you staying? Yes. So what is the abiding life? It's the whole thing. If what we are up to is not just trying to survive planet Earth or extract from planet Earth whatever it is we feel we need in that moment that will make us what we want building our kingdom, but if our focus is on our rabbi, then our life will be on mission, and our life will be in community, and our life will be intimate with God. And then finally, the final piece of what it means to follow a rabbi in the time of Jesus was that you would not only live their life, or rather follow their way, live in their way, follow their way, but you would know their truth and believe it. Their truth would transform, change, and shape the way that you live. And Jesus, in John chapter 8, verse 31, says, my disciples, my followers, will abide, there's that word again, in my truth. So his disciples will not only abide in his way, following his way, mission, community, intimacy with God, but they will abide in his truth, believing his truth, living in it. The abiding in his truth does not simply mean I know it. It means I know it. In other words, I live it. I remain in it. I believe it. And when we follow the way of Jesus, and when we believe the truth of Jesus, then what life will be born out of us? What will abide in us? The life of Jesus. What did Jesus say in John chapter 15? I will abide in you as you abide in me. See, the life of Jesus is not what you're supposed to go live. This is where I think we've got it wrong the whole time. We're like, you got to go figure out how to be patient. You got to go figure out how to be loving. I mean, come on, the Bible says love one another. You idiot humans. And our entire journey in church is behavior modification to try to make us all behave like Jesus, when the entire rabbinical way was stop. Switch all of your focus to living on mission and in community and in intimacy with God in my way. Abide in my truth, meaning believe my truth and live in it. And guess what will happen to you? My life will abide in you, and suddenly, 10 years down the road, you will wake up and say, huh, the more I look at the way I'm living, the more I see patient, kind, good, gentle, loving, all those things are coming. This is the journey of abiding with God. This is what it means. So, at the end of the day, when we keep in step with the Spirit, what is the Spirit going to lead us into? The way of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, and what will be born in us? The life of Jesus, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which is an extraordinary thing. So let me ask you this, for real, listen to me for a second. Can you imagine with me for a second what it might look like if an entire people, Mosaic Church, and all of us that call Jesus our Savior and our teacher, our Lord, our Master, if we follow him by the power of the Spirit, who is leading us into his way, leading us into his truth, empowering us to his way, empowering us to his truth, so that his life would be born in us, which is the life of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. What would a people look like if it is said of them, this people in their relationships, this people in their circumstances, this people in their resource stewardship, this people in their life, their workplaces, their schools, their neighborhoods. They are a people that are loving and patient and kind and good and gentle and faithful and full of self-control. What would your marriage relationship look like if the fruit of Jesus measured the majority of that relational dynamic? What would your friendship look like with your friends if the fruit of the Spirit, the life of Jesus, measured the majority of that relationship? What would your workplace look like as you work toward things if mission and if community was your drive rather than ascending the ladder, getting the bigger salary, working the longer hours to get the better title so that everybody would think more of you than they do? What if everything shaped to fixing and focusing on following the way of Jesus, believing the truth of Jesus, and seeing the life of Jesus in us so that in all those environments, what people would see in us was the fruit of the Spirit? I honestly can't begin to imagine what that would look like. In John chapter 14, right before John chapter 15, same meal, same supper, right? Jesus, when he first started the conversation that he was leaving, he said, "Hey, I'm gonna go, but don't worry, don't be sad. I'm gonna prepare a place for you and come back." And Peter said, "We'll go with you." And Jesus said, "You can't, but don't worry, you know the way." And Thomas said, "Sorry, these other guys are nodding their heads, but nobody here knows the way. I don't, they don't, they can nod all they want. I'm gonna ask the question. I'm sorry, we don't know the way." And Jesus, to Thomas and the others, probably thinking in his head, "Thank you, Thomas, at least somebody's willing to ask," said, "You do know the way." Why? Because the way is not a path, the way is a person, the way is a groom. And he said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." And that was tied to our journey into eternity. No one will be with the Father but through Jesus. But it was also tied to the rabbinical way. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the way now, I am the truth now, I am the life now, I am the way then, I am the truth then, I am the life then. See, we always separate. But when Jesus was asked about what it means to have eternal life in John 17:3, you know what he said? "For this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." When did we come to know Jesus? In the future, or do we know him now? We know him now, which means we live now in the already but not yet. We are living out eternal life. So the way of Jesus is not yet to come, but is now. And the truth of Jesus is not yet to come, but it is now. And the life of Jesus is not yet to come, but it is now. And yet it is yet to come. And so we walk in it. So folks, here's the deal. Simply put, this year, 2020, we are going to fix, we are going to focus, we are going to press in like never before as a church into what it means in simplicity, in all of the every moments of our life, to walk by the power of the Spirit, stay in step with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God into the way of God, the way of Jesus, living all of our spaces on mission, in community, and in intimacy with God. We are going to dive deeply into the truths of God in his word, letting the Spirit lead us into his word and show us new and unsearchable things we have not yet seen. And we will take those things and we will eat them and we will believe them and we will live in them. By whose power? By the power of the Helper. Because Jesus said, "I will send you a helper and he will lead you." And then what do we hope to see by the promises of God if we walk in this space by following his way, believing his truth? We hope to see his life abiding in us. And when it does, what kind of a place will this become? What kind of a place? We're going to go press into that. That's what we're going to go do. There's the vision for 2020. We're going to go do that. We're going to abide, stay in, remain in, walk in the way of our rabbi, the truth of our rabbi, and see the life of our rabbi born in us. So here at Mosaic Church, we, the leadership and the teams, have been working diligently over the last few months as we prepared for this to make sure that we become a place that in every environment for 2020, we are facilitating for you and I this journey of growing in our knowledge of the way of Jesus and growing in what it means to follow that way and growing in our knowledge of the truth of Jesus, the Word of God, and believing in activity, in action that way, that truth, and then to watch and see the fruit of the Spirit, the life of Jesus born in us. So on every level, we've been doing that. Our graphics teams and visual arts teams have been working diligently to say, how do we make this a visible and an incredible space to give people visuals of what it means to abide? You're looking behind me on the screen as the word abide breaks into 1,000 pieces. When you go out into that lobby, you're going to see a setup over there with 3 panels. And what we did with the word abide, when I say we, I mean our visual awesome teams, not Renault. Renault got to just sit and watch it unfold along with some of the other leadership. As Kevin and his team, Hannah and Keith and Jeff and all those guys, they dreamt together of what this meant. And they realized that to abide in Christ by the Spirit is not simply to follow his way. If that's all we do, we are not abiding. It's not simply to believe his truth. And we can't live his life in our own strength because it's not sustainable. So if we do any one of those 3 things, we are not yet fully abiding in our rabbi. But when all 3 are aligned, what are we doing? Abiding. So they took the word abide, broke it into pieces, 3 pieces. They put panels together. And if you look at those panels from any angle whatsoever, it's just a jumble of insanity, which is what our self-righteousness is, or our self-governance, or our lawlessness, or our self-efforts of any kind. But when you align just right, and it's out there, you can go look at it, and you look through all 3 panels simultaneously, the word comes together and the word emerges, the word abide. Why do we work so hard on this kind of craziness? So that every week when you walk in here and you see that, what are you reminded of? To abide in God is to follow his way. It is to believe his truth and it is to see his life born in us because we follow his way and we believe his truth. So the visual teams have worked tirelessly and diligently to make this easy for us to remember week after week after week. The discipleship teams with Rick and Jimmy and his team have worked diligently to look at this whole year and the years to come and ask the question from a discipleship journey, how do we give people an easy and effortless way in to the journey of being disciples of Jesus here? How do we make sure that our discipleship isn't just a random set of Bible studies and just more stuff to do and more things to know that you're committed to that you don't come to, right? I mean, there's the smorgasbord of let's do church together because it's church. But how do we take our journey of discipleship and focus and fix everything into a journey that says we are either spending time learning and following the way of Jesus, or learning and believing the truth of Jesus, or watching the life of Jesus play out? And so they've looked at the whole year and established a journey of entry into discipleship here that is going to be phenomenal. And they have the equipping classes and their missional communities and their journey in every department, curriculums they've been writing so that we would learn together what this means. Our worship teams have been working diligently to make sure that the disciplines of the faith, which is a key component of how we abide in the spaces of following the way of Jesus in the intimacy of God. The disciplines of the faith give us the means to abide in intimacy with God. Go listen to that podcast and you'll hear all about that. They've worked diligently to make sure we're doing a discipline every single month for the rest of this year here on the stage and then giving you the equipping to go and do it at home so that the abiding in intimacy with God becomes easy for you and effortless for you. Every other department here, from children to students to everything, are working together to make sure that we are discipling all of us into the way of our rabbi by the Spirit of God. So, you and I just have to decide if we want to follow. That's all. We will facilitate the journey for you with as much ease as possible, but we can't take the journey for you. We can only facilitate it. So when Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, take on my yoke and follow me, that is an invitation only you can decide whether you're going to take. We will help you if you choose it. You will have to choose it and follow it. Being a child of God is a gracious act of God's extraordinary rescue of our souls. And you don't stop being a child because of anything you may or may not do. But being a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, by definition, means that there is an act of following. My children, when they follow my way, remain my children, whether they are following my way or not. You with me? But when they choose not to follow my way, I don't get to say of them, they are following my way. That would be stupid. Here's my child that I love that is not following my ways right now. Or here's my child that I love who is following my ways. To be a disciple of Jesus in the tangible realities of this planet is to choose to follow his way, to believe his truth, and then you will see his life born in you and I. Where do we go from here? Two things, very, very simply, two things. One, go back and listen to that podcast because it will give you all of the details I didn't give you today about what it means to know the way of the rabbi, this spiritual life from last summer. Two, there are some tools we have available for you that we will speak to in this gathering, at the end of the gathering, that you're going to want to hear about. Make sure you get those tools into your arsenal and begin your personal journey as we as a church begin to help facilitate that journey for you in the things that we're going to do. Folks, here's the deal. At the end of the day, 2020, I don't think it's an impossible dream to get to the end of this year and to think that we, as a community, could see the life of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, more alive and vibrant in us than ever before. And I don't think it's an impossible dream to see the fruit of that fruit in the world looking in on this place and saying, who are these people? I don't care if we become the biggest church in town or the smallest. I don't care if we become the coolest church in town or the most uncool. But I do care deeply that when people look at us who say we follow Jesus, that they would say of us, man, the life of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, is vibrant in their space. I don't know what to do with these people. And if that's 10 of us or 10,000 of us, doesn't really matter to me. But it does matter to me that we don't say we follow Jesus and then we actually don't. So this year, we're going to go learn how to do this together, empowered and led by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. God, thank you that you gave us such a clear way in the way that you actually lived on this planet. And all that you showed us in the Old Testament of your character and of your rhythm through the law, through the sacrificial system, through the stories of so many that you chose to write down, that we got to see you throughout the Old Testament and then tangibly watch you live it out in a body on this planet. And thank you so much that when you left this planet in that physical space, that you came and sent the Spirit of God. We're so grateful that our ever-present rabbi is in us and with us. Spirit of God, thank you. Lead us now. Lead us into the way of Jesus. Lead us into the truth of the word. And birth in us, in our participation in his way and his truth, your fruit, your life, so that we might become truly the image bearers of the life of our rabbi. That people would say, these people are ambassadors of Jesus. Because when you look at them, what you see is the life of Jesus. And God, while you're at it, as we live that out, would you show us in such beautiful form what happens when we begin to see that occur in a community like this, in our relationships, in our circumstances, with our resources, in our everyday lives. May we abide in every moment, the go moments, the stop moments, the restful ones and the busy ones. May you divert our focus more and more this year till eventually all we see is you and all we live for is you in all that we do. We love you, Jesus.